Apex Central listeners, you can find us every Monday through Friday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Summer is all about the freedom to have fun. Forget a vacation and take a tequila-cation with new Truly Tequila Soda. This refreshing blend of real fruit juice from concentrate, sparkling water, and premium tequila blanco is the drink of the summer. Try all four refreshing flavors, all with 5% ABV and just 100 calories. Truly Tequila Soda. Keep it light. Hard Seltzer Beverage Company, Boston, Massachusetts. Please drink responsibly.
We have to link this week out. Good.
All right. Hello. It is Pick Central Live, Barstool Live here in Omaha, Nebraska. We are at DJ's Dugout downtown. I am very loud in my headset, if we could work on that. But that's okay. Hello, Marty.
How we doing?
Average. How are you?
I feel great.
We did a show yesterday here at DJ's Dugout. Okay. We get in the car, our nice little moderately priced SUV. We go back to the hotel over there.
Squeezed right home.
Beautiful Ameristar Council Bluffs over there in Iowa. And you go to your hotel room and nobody's seen you for 24 hours.
Yep.
What happened? You didn't go to the game. You didn't do anything.
Well, I was a little under the weather.
Mm-hmm.
I fell asleep from 1 to 7, had Taco Bell, went back to bed. Sounds like the best night ever.
I truly hate you so much. Hello, Ben Mintz.
Hello, Brandon Walker.
What was that?
Just good mood today.
Why are you in a good mood?
Because I feel like it's like the first day I can walk around and the sky's not.
You won one game and you're walking with your titties poked out?
Dude, I won state the night before, man. I'm on a
You didn't win that. That one doesn't count. You continue to pick state just to spite us.
Were you just about to say you're on a hot streak?
I didn't say hot streak. I'm saying the curse may be over.
Okay. So you won both ways on Vanderbilt last night.
But like last night, that was one of the craziest. I'm still in disbelief. And that's five nights in a row we've had epic one-run games in there. Like, I don't know what's going on with this College World Series. Every night game has been unforgettable. But that ninth inning, Brandon, I literally, on my phone, had the X tweet already lined up to send when it ended. There was no one on, two outs. Brandon Beck, the Stanford ace, came in the seventh and is mowing Vandy down. And then it goes walk. Like the hit.
Right.
And then Enrique Bradfield, Vandy's super stud freshman leadoff hitter, gets up. No one you'd rather have up. Rips a line drive single to right field. Pandemonium. And then the game ends on a wild pitch by Brandon Beck. I mean, I feel like I always think I've seen it all in my 38 years, and I realize I've never really seen anything. I resorted to desperate measures. I was by the Vandy whistler, clapping, just anything to keep Vandy in the College World Series. I don't believe what I saw last night.
Yeah, we'll talk more about that game in a minute. I'm going to be honest. As a Mississippi State fan, I kind of wanted Vandy to go home. I wanted the Whistler to go home. I wanted those pitchers to go home. I wanted those black and gold, ugly-ass uniforms to go home. I just wanted them the fuck out of Omaha. But we'll wait another day. Maybe NC State will do it. Me and Carl had a mandate last night. Hey, Carl.
How you doing, bud?
It was good.
It was nice, and I came out of that. I'm fucking focused.
Really?
Yeah, I'm ready to go.
Sharp.
Yeah,
well, that's that red meat in you.
Yeah, that's that Omaha Midwest. I'm a little out here, too, if you don't mind that. That's that Omaha steak. No, and then I turn it down, please. I didn't say it correctly. It was a great meal, Brandon. Thank you.
We went to the Drover here in Omaha, and it was a very good steak. Very, very fantastic whiskey ribeye. Who's down there? Big T.
Good morning, Brandon.
How you doing, brother?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Listen. Big T, the Dave Portnoy Show, you ever heard of it?
I have.
You have heard of it. He had a guest on this week, Trista Crick.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've ever met her. You had a little whiny bitch fight with her about 2 months ago or something like that. Now, have you listened to the Dave Portnoy Show?
I've not. I've heard it's very entertaining. I'm saving it for my flight home tomorrow.
That's the saddest thing I've ever heard, Big T.
Well, you don't want to ruin it too quick. I've heard it's very entertaining. I want to wait and really enjoy it.
You're celebrating.
That's creepy. Not creepy. No, not creepy. That's dark. bets.
Why? Big T's a dark man.
Yeah, you need to like. You're like, I need to get my own.
Well, I mean, we're doing
world.
This, that, and the other while we're here.
You really want to save it. Yeah.
No, you want to save it just when you have time to yourself and you really can enjoy it.
Yes.
That's what it is.
Yes, Marty gets it.
I understand. He's a dark man.
That's fucked.
Also, that show. That Nuggets fan is a moron.
So I haven't watched the show yet, but the Nuggets fan is on there, the one that got destroyed by Suns and Four guy.
He got dummied. He literally got hit every single way, and he's like, I don't even know what you guys are talking about. Like, I didn't even get hit. I got scratched in the nose, and I put my head down because that is whole. He said that he was holding up the Suns and Four guy's weight with his neck. What does that even mean?
Just come on, it's food. Four, six fat guys up here. We'll take it. Sorry, keep going. Were you done?
No, I'm not fat.
Well, no, you're not fat. Five fat guys and Marty.
You're definitely not.
Do you like my merch?
Four fat guys, Marty and Carl. No, I don't at all.
What?
It's you bought a come and go shirt.
It's a fire shirt.
Okay, super. All right.
You like it?
He doesn't get
for it. A come and go?
Pretty good.
Yeah, it's a lot better than what they sell at my White Hen, my 7-Eleven.
That's your what? What was the first one?
A White Hen.
What's a White Hen? Then it's just a regular store? I don't know. I don't have them in the South.
If you know, I'm not joking, if there's anybody out there and you know where a White Hen is still open, send me. I will go.
You'll go to a White Hen?
They used to be super popular in Chicago. They're all closed now.
Okay, cool. So, Doug's.
Yes, sir.
Did you go to that card shop yesterday?
I did. It was nice.
How was it? Did he give you a beer?
He did. That was surprising. I didn't expect that. You don't see too many places like outside of maybe new barber shops that really, like, as soon as you walk in, just an old man says, "Hey, how you doing? You want a beer?"
There's a place here. I don't know if you guys are tourists or whatever. You're here like I am for the first time. Stadium View Sports Cards, like right down there by the old Rosenblatt, right across the street from the old Rosenblatt and the zoo down there. Just one of the most incredible sporting atmospheres I've ever seen. It's one of the. It's got incredible memorabilia, everything. And you walk in, this old guy's there. I forgot his name, but he's a legend here in Omaha. He hands me a beer. Says, "All right, take your time, look around."
Yeah. His name is Rusty.
It's not Rusty.
Piv. Piv is what he goes by. Pivovar is like his last name.
Yeah.
I used to run like an underground gambling thing when I was in high school.
Allegedly.
In college. Allegedly.
Yeah.
In college. And I used to give everyone a beer.
What?
Like, we'd play like some blackjack. I had a roulette table. And I'd give everyone a beer.
Well, when you say underground, where was it? In your dorm room? You didn't have it in a cave.
It was my apartment.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Off campus.
Allegedly. But I was in college, past Marty.
And your campus was in the murder capital of New York.
That it was.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So they didn't really care about us.
Do you find that running an illegal gambling ring in the murder capital of New York was a good idea?
Yeah, do you have security?
Be honest, the house lost. I did not win. It's fucking ridiculous.
You never got robbed, though, right?
No. Just well,
then you're a winner.
It was tough.
Have you ever been robbed, Mintz? You said that from experience.
I had my car stolen from Memphis.
What? You had your car stolen?
In Memphis.
What kind of car was it?
Hold on a second. Was it running? Was it,
no, it wasn't running.
Keys in, any of that bullshit?
No, which is shocking because historically you would have thought I would have left.
Because I feel like if someone has their keys in their car and it, like your car didn't get stolen, you just left your keys in the car.
No, it wasn't.
But this sounds like a true, like Nicolas Cage gone in 60 seconds style.
Yeah, it gets wild in Memphis.
Okay, so your car was stolen.
Yes.
Did you get it back?
So I got it back. My dad, it was when I was senior in college. Well,
that could be any year.
Yeah, this was like when I was supposed to be a senior in
04. You were 35.
No, so my dad had the limited liability on it, so it wasn't covered really at all. And it got back, and it was totally, completely just done. Toast. Like, stripped down everything. So I didn't have a car for a few weeks. And then I got second in the World Series of Poker Player of the Month in Tunica for $15,000 and just bought a car with
cash.
He
always finds a way to suck himself off.
Yeah, that's what happened.
I don't know about that, but what a wild story. You never know how those stories are going to end. My car got stolen. We didn't have any insurance because we're cheap, but I went and won $15,000 in a poker tournament and bought a new car.
Yeah, no, well, I gave the guy cash, and I think it was Pontotoc, Mississippi, and I handed him his envelope for the store thing. And he.
Anytime you can buy a car in Pontotoc, Mississippi, you got to fucking do it.
Yeah, the cat, he couldn't believe it. I was like 23, just handed him $14,000 in cash.
You know, so you had your car stolen, and then you went out and you just immediately spent $14,000.
Well, no, I got second.
No, you won the money.
Yeah.
And then your next move, you didn't, like, take out a loan.
No, I just paid
You didn't get a
full.
Shitty car.
No.
That was, if it gets stolen, you're not, you just were
paid
like, there's another Nissan.
Yeah, no monthly payment.
Now, did you also get limited insurance on that one?
Good question, Ducks.
No insurance problem.
No, I got limp. Yes, I did. I just stayed away from downtown Memphis.
Probably a decent idea. All right, so we are in downtown Omaha. It's a wonderful
place. Much nicer here.
Just relax. Just relax. Shit, you win one bet and you're taking over the fucking show.
Everybody calm down.
Everybody relax.
Okay.
Can I just point out something about the crowd today? First of all, there's thousands of people here. Thousands of people here today. But here's one thing I don't like about this show. This is a very big crowd. I don't mean that as far as, like, people, but like this guy over here, there's a bunch of muscle. There's a 6 foot, there's a 7 footer over here. There's too many. Like, he can't even put
no
his.
No way he can wipe his ass. I mean, your shoulders are ginormous. He goes to show him.
What are you, offensive lineman, defensive lineman? Offensive lineman. Okay. All right. He's a big
you
guy.
Have to have some brain to beat offensive lineman.
No, like, offensive linemen are the most loyal guys, and they're some of the smartest guys on the football team. People don't know that. They also have good feet. Shockingly good basketball players. Not him. He can't play basketball. But most offensive linemen.
They have
linemen.
Very good people. Like fans, like no one gives a shit about them. But, like, the team does.
The so team does, yeah. Yeah, the players that fans give a shit about offensive linemen.
Yes, exactly.
You think that's accurate? I don't give a fuck what you think. No, just relax. You got to establish dominance. It's like going into a prison, going right up to the toughest guy, and letting him know that you're there, mean business. He'll probably beat the shit out of me.
No, did you come in here today thinking you were going to get your ass kicked? Okay, yeah. Okay. Keep your fingers crossed, pal.
All right.
I would be unbelievable.
I see you too, Kareem. Okay.
By the way, that
fucking
was
7 footer over there.
That was just a joke, dude. All right.
That is, he's tall as shit too. Shitty shirt he's wearing, but his elbows are down to.
Well, that's the best college basketball program in North Carolina. It's not a fake program like Duke. And their coach retires with dignity and doesn't do a circle jerk for a year.
No, he screwed over his recruits.
No, he didn't screw over his recruits.
He's like, hey, come to UNC, I'll be your coach, and then poof, he's gone.
Yeah, like
Coach
Duke,
K is telling everybody, hey, I'm leaving.
How are Duke recruits, you know. Your recruits getting screwed? They're still getting their money, I'm sure.
No, no money.
No money, no money. Zion didn't get anything to come to Duke.
You just hate
no the house.
Troops. Coach K is an Army vet. You just hate the troops then.
I hate when you do that.
I mean, it's true.
He's not, whatever.
Fucking,
whatever.
What's his name's getting vertigo every 2 seconds. It's not my fault.
Who, Roy Williams?
Yeah. You can't look up.
Roy Williams had vertigo?
Oh, he's had it blind.
Pretty bad.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. It's true.
I can't. Hey, that's a HIPAA violation, buddy. Which is not the same as OSHA. Stick around after. We'll go through the details.
Are you getting paid by OSHA?
No, yeah, I'm just saying, like, if I'm going to talk HIPAA, then someone's going to be like, what the fuck's this guy in acronyms?
Yeah. No, you've mentioned OSHA on every single show this week.
Do you think Marty knows what HIPAA is?
Yeah, he knows what HIPAA is.
I know.
He thinks
it's because Rico says it all the time that, like, someone's always violating HIPAA rules when they talk about him.
Oh, of course he does.
Yeah.
All right, before we get into the College World Series a little more, at Barstool Sports, we love and appreciate our listeners. Without you, none of us would be able to do this stupid shit every day. So once in a while, we try to bring you something good. Maybe it's for you, maybe it's not. A lot of us take care of our bodies. But with as tough a year as this has been on many of us, we might want to think about taking more care of our minds. There's a misunderstanding of what therapy is. It can be whatever you want it to be. It doesn't have to be sitting around talking about your feelings. BetterHelp is customized online therapy that offers video, phone, and even live chat sessions with your therapist, so you don't have to see anyone on camera if you don't want to. It's much more affordable than in-person therapy, and you can start communicating with your therapist in under 48 hours. Join the millions of people who are seeing what therapy is all about. It's always a good time to invest in yourself because you are your greatest asset. This podcast, sponsored by BetterHelp, and our listeners get 10% off their first month at BetterHelp.com/picks. That's BetterHelp.com/picks. All right, we are at the College World Series. Let's take stock of where we are right now. So last night we had an elimination game, Stanford-Vanderbilt. Stanford led the whole night, took a lead early, ended up blowing it, and Vanderbilt escapes, and they're defending champs, and they stay here. So we're down to, I believe, six teams, right?
Five.
We're down to five teams.
We have Vandy and NC State, right. And then three left on the other side of the bracket.
So the two teams sitting the prettiest are NC State, who will play Vanderbilt tomorrow at 1 p.m., and Mississippi State, who is waiting for the winner of Texas and Virginia. And since you are the expert, and you were right yesterday when you picked Vanderbilt, and you were right when
clearly,
you
it's all skill on that pick.
When you picked over 10.5. No. Don't do that. If you get a pick right, you're a genius. Okay. If you get a pick wrong, you're an idiot. But on this case, you knew it was going to happen. Okay, now, tonight, Texas, Virginia. Texas, Number two national seed, Virginia, unranked coming into the tournament. Who's winning tonight?
I'm taking Texas. They got three really good starters.
Yes.
Texas, the reason is...
And they're not starting any of those starters. They're starting Hanson, the reliever.
No, Hanson's good.
But he's starting tonight.
No, Hanson's had a great year.
He's the Big 12 ERA leader.
Yeah, no, he's awesome.
So you open up, you like him because they got three good starters. Hanson's a reliever.
He started some games, too.
Okay.
He's pitched a bunch this year. He's had a great year.
So we like Texas.
He's refusing to acknowledge that you're saying a reliever's starting today.
Look, dude, we like Texas because their pitching staff depth.
There we go.
There. Right. Yeah, right. There we go.
That's what we wanted.
There you go. No, I like I haven't figured out my over-under play yet, but I like Texas.
Don't you think, though,
I feel like it's over
with Virginia, that you play that game against Mississippi State to go 2-0, you go a perfect game pretty much through eight innings. And
a no-hitter.
No-hitters.
And then that rain came.
And then that just obviously that nonsense happens, and it's like...
The rain did
like,
nothing.
I feel like they're kind of donezo.
Rain didn't change the momentum, though. It barely rained. They didn't pull the tarp or anything.
I know. I just felt like the vibe...
Is this your Ole Miss logic?
Dude, the vibe changed the stadium.
The vibe changed the stadium because Mississippi State started ripping his titties open.
I love that. It drizzled.
They didn't score until the rain had already stopped.
Yep.
But the energy changed.
I agree with. Yeah. Hold on a second. I agree with Mincy on this. The energy did change.
Because
Mississippi State, what they started doing is they started taking mound visits and they started delaying their time because they thought they were going to get a rain delay.
The energy didn't change because it rained like seven drops. The energy changed because there were thousands of Mississippi State fans and we finally got a hit. We were knocking the guy around. We were just hitting it right at people. We hit it at the second baseman. We flew out to the wall. And finally, we get one hit. Bam, it's over.
I'll just say that the human mind and body only has five senses, and there's a lot of other stuff going on that we can't tell, and I just believe the energy changed. I can't say with definitive, with any real specificity, but I felt it.
Are you saying that something
came out of
another dimension and changed the...
No, I mean, we could go down that path, and I know Marty wants to, and I know you do, but not other dimensions, Brandon, just a little spark.
Here's the thing. Virginia had a pitcher who was pitching above his head. He was throwing a no-hitter, a fake no-hitter, because we were knocking him all over the yard. He finally gave up a hit, lost it. They went to the bullpen, and Mississippi State was too good, too much heart, and won the game. Had nothing to do with rain. They didn't pull the tarp on the field.
You're 1,000% right. So the two-run home run, was that off the starting pitcher?
Yeah, that was his only hit, and he was out of the game after that.
You know what that does?
What?
Momentum.
Correct.
I don't think the raindrop hit him and was like, you know what?
Yeah.
This boys,
the
we got him where we
bomb
want.
Into the bullpen was the momentum.
We got him where we want. It's raining.
Yeah. but that's okay.
Now, the Cubs, that was
a... What about that,
that
rain?
That was a rain thing.
Okay.
That was a rain.
We needed that rain. That was good rain.
Good rain.
That's another list we got to get together. Good rains in sports.
That's pretty
good. Rains? How many good rains are there?
Well, I mean, like times when like, hey, man, good thing it rained.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mississippi State a couple years ago was facing Arizona in the Super Regional, and their pitcher was throwing a gem in the sixth inning, and the lights went out of the park. We had a blackout for 45 minutes, and the guy, you okay? Did you have a seat?
I just think it's funny.
I thought he had back spasms. I was like, oh, my God, Mincy's going down.
Okay. Oh, you guys wonder why we talk about OSHA.
Yeah, and we had a blackout, and they had to take the guy. Bobby Dalbec, actually, the guy for the Red Sox, now is a hitter, and he was fantastic. We ended up losing that Super Regional. I don't know why I brought it up. But, yeah, good range in sports.
Blackout's pretty good, too. Remember when the ECU Pirate was in the hospital?
Yes.
And we all bet the ECU, and it was a blackout, and they scored in the last second?
Well, I guess the most famous blackout is obviously the Super Bowl, right?
Yeah, that's still probably suspicious. I can't wait for the 30 for 30 on that. Like 25 years from now, whenever is responsible for it dies, and then the people all closer are like, all right, let's talk.
So John Harbaugh beat his brother by being a mastermind.
I'm saying deep states.
Deep states.
Yeah, like this is where not the platform, Pick Central, but deep state controlled.
There's another famous blackout, too. Well, I don't know how famous it was. It was Wisconsin. Was out at UNLV a few years ago, and all the Wisconsin fans just traveled in hordes to Vegas and fired all the money on Wisconsin, and they were up like 27-7 midway through the third quarter, and the game blacked out, and all bets were canceled.
Oh, yeah.
That was a really funny one.
Yeah, I don't remember that one that well.
Speaking of blackouts, did you see David Wells the day before he hit pitched his perfect game?
No.
He went out till 6 a.m. with Jimmy Fallon. And he got to the stadium, and they told him, go away because he smelled like alcohol.
Time.
What?
David Wells. And Jimmy Fallon went out?
Yeah.
Jimmy Fallon was it?
Is this... Jimmy Fallon's way older than you think he is.
Is he really?
Way older.
I'd say he's like 20. He seems like he was 18 or 20 years old back then.
He would have been in his earlier mid-20s around there, but he would have been like, baseball Fallon, fan. Yeah. Yeah, like
they went out till 6 a.m., and he was like really fucked up. And then when he got to the stadium, they told him to go to the side because he smelled like alcohol. And he said he had his worst bullpen in the world. He had no idea what he was doing.
Yeah.
And then he got to his first pitch. He threw 96 down the middle. He's like, I don't know what's going on. And then pitched perfect.
And it wasn't even, yeah, it was a perfect game.
Yep.
Yeah.
Fake or real?
So what?
Because you fake no hitters. I don't know if it.
No, that one was real. Perfect
game. Are there such things as a fake perfect game?
Like, if they happen against Mississippi State, yes.
Did Phil Humber throw a?
He did. I don't think it was. We'll have to look at that one.
And then he was out of the league like three starts
Armando
later.
Galarraga threw a fake non-perfect game because he threw a perfect game.
James Joyce was the umpire, right?
Yeah.
Joyce. James Joyce is an author.
What about when someone throws a no-hitter but like walks like eight people?
That's tough. Nolan Ryan did that like 14 times, yeah. I think, or something. Like, I don't know. How many no-hitters does Nolan Ryan have? Seven?
Seven, yeah.
Okay.
Doc Ellis.
Doc Ellis threw a no-hitter for the Pirates on acid.
Yeah, and he walked like, I think it was 16 guys or something crazy. They said they got to the end of the game, they didn't know it was a no-hitter because they had two guys on base every inning.
Yeah, so that's back when they didn't care about pitch counts or anything. Doc Ellis threw like 200 pitches. Of course, he was on acid, so I was really worried about his arm at that point.
Did he take, see, the story's like, oh, I did acid the night before.
Right.
Like, yeah, buddy. Yeah.
I did.
There has to be part of that story. He's like, I wonder what it would be like if I pitched on acid.
Right.
So I'm going to take some acid and go pitch. And then he throws a no-hitter, and it's like, oh, my God.
Well, you're a pitcher. Have you ever taken acid and gone to pitch?
No, I have not taken acid and gone to pitch.
But like I said, I'm not saying acid, but when you're under some other influence, you're not thinking about all the pressure stuff, all the pitches. You're just thinking, I'm going to have to throw this ball, have a good time.
I wouldn't even know how to do acid.
I don't even know how you get it.
I wouldn't know where to get it.
I think you put it on your tongue.
Hello, Ducks.
Hey.
Ducks hasn't talked in 10 minutes. Right. Acid comes up.
Are you thinking about acid down there?
No, I'm not actually. I'm not a big drug guy. I mean, I wouldn't mind. I don't think I'll do it in Omaha, but, you know, maybe one day.
Well, we're not asking people to bring us acid.
Oh, cool. I thought that was, like, the next step.
Like, I know what a weed guy looks like. I know what, like, a coke. You know what these guys look like. Right. I don't really know what an acid guy looks like.
I don't either.
Or, like, where you fit into the social hierarchy. Like, I know where meth is. I know where these things.
Huh. No, I know what meth looks like. Yeah.
You ever been with somebody on acid?
I don't think so.
I was playing beer pong against one guy in college, and he thought the ball was a bunny when it was bouncing.
Really?
Yeah, it was not good.
That sounds incredible.
He won, too.
Did he?
Yeah, I don't know how.
Yeah, the thing about drugs is, Brandon, they'll make you ruin your life.
That's true.
Like, that's why they're good. That's why people do them.
No shit.
Yeah, so.
People do say that.
Hey, I wonder how this drug's going to go. Hey, guess what, buddy? There's about 50 million people that'll tell you it's fucking wonderful. Sorry, kids, don't do them. We have a couple minors
in
here.
I'm sorry. Okay, so
just one, really. Don't do drugs, honey.
We have Texas, Virginia tonight, and then the winner was able to play Mississippi State tomorrow. Mississippi State's going to win that game and then go on and play for the national championship next week and probably win the first national championship in school history. Ben Mintz.
At this point, I'm not saying it's not a possibility. I mean, State's got a ton of momentum.
Of course it's a possibility.
They're in the winner's bracket. Pitchers arrested. They've got depth. They got momentum.
Hart,
SEC hitter, player of the year.
Best looking fans.
Got a great closer in Landon Sims.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And there's a lot there. What I'm curious, Brandon, so the fan bases, we've got some great fan bases here, but State winning Tuesday, it's going to be a whole new wave of Bulldog fans coming Friday at 6. Mm-hmm.
There's going to be a lot of empty Dollar Generals in Mississippi.
The tradition of Mississippi State baseball going back to the 80s, I mean, this is the 12th Omaha appearance. I mean, it's kind of – I'm surprised they don't have a national championship, though. Like, they've been so good.
No, I mean, I agree.
You know, they've been good.
Ben, I wish we had one.
I know, and this is possibly your best chance.
1985, we had the best team, and we didn't win it. And then, you know, whatever. It's fine. Somebody says – one of the comments says the definition of what an acid guy looks like is Marty Mush.
Yeah.
Oh.
Probably.
Okay.
I never done it. I'm a pussy.
I could see an acid guy coming in here in a come and go shirt.
Yeah, that's in like enjoying it.
Right. Yeah.
I could see that. That's right. Vanderbilt. Tell me their route now. So they got Kumar next game.
So they're gonna have to pitch if they're gonna go with their aces, they would go with Kumar next game tomorrow, right? Which is on decently short rest, and then they'd have to go with Leiter on short rest the day after unless they decide not to. But they will play tomorrow. If they win, they play Saturday.
I heard a rumor that Vanderbilt would not start Leiter until game one of the championship, and that would be the only time he'd go.
Smart.
But so you would Kumar's throw Kumar. Go.
Kumar is absolutely pitching on Friday.
Right, and then you just go Holstaff on Saturday. And
Johnny fucking Holstaff, come on out and just hope that the momentum. But I'm a big believer that if you play a two-game elimination, the team that has to win twice, if they win that first game.
They've got the momentum.
They have every, yeah.
Yeah, so they have two games to get to the championship.
Right.
Got it.
Vanderbilt, yeah, Vanderbilt's still got to win four games to win a national title. They would have to win so many elimination games. But it's whatever. NC State is, like, sitting there. And nobody expects them to be here. They beat Vanderbilt once, so I assume they can do it again. We'll see.
The thing that just sucks for NC State is you want, I mean, if you were on the team, you'd wish you'd be playing. You don't have to. Obviously, you want the time off, but just how hot they are, it's not, I don't think that helps them. I would rather be playing every day.
Yeah, when was their last game? Like Monday?
Yeah.
Yeah, they don't play from Monday to Friday.
It's tough. That said, you know, obviously the pitching staff's going to be healthy. And that lineup's fucking great. Sorry, I got to stop saying that. The lineup is outstanding.
The lineup is very, very good. Yes. That's the one thing about the way that the College World Series is built is, like, the teams that play today, Texas, Virginia, right? Yesterday, Vanderbilt was able to stave off elimination. They get a day off, and now they go play tomorrow for their lives again. Texas, Virginia playing for their life today, and then they got to turn around and do it again tomorrow. So they got to go bang, bang, bang. And then if they win tomorrow, they'd have to play Saturday. They have to go 3 days in a row.
I have one question about Virginia. How do you feel about their mental state going into this game after what happened against Mississippi State?
I have many very good friends on Virginia. I spent some time with them yesterday. I saw our boy Shock. I gave him a hug.
How's he doing?
He's doing good. He
was really sweaty.
Yeah, he was very, very sweaty. Yeah. But he was. I asked him, I was like, how are you holding up? And he said, I was doing really, really good until that guy hit that fucking bomb off of me.
Yeah.
And then I wasn't doing as good.
You only got one out. Yeah. No, it's okay. That's what happens.
He's still our guy.
Let me try and work through this. It might be a dumb question. But is baseball the only sport that it's good for a lot of rest? I think, like, basketball, you get rusty. If you take a little, like, weight, like, if you,
I think then, you need to rest in football.
But I think when you have, like, when those teams get those bye weeks, like, those wild card teams usually do better because they're, like, still in, like, the rhythm. Is it a dumb question?
Yeah, it's a dumb question.
No, I mean,
I don't know the answer.
I guess your point is, like, where does rest in relation to performance fit with baseball, where you're saying, like, obviously basketball, like, yo, let's just keep going. Like,
yeah,
play today, we're going to play tomorrow, play two games, play at night, play tomorrow morning.
Because baseball, you can still get your number one guy.
Baseball's a timing sport too, right? So if you take much time off, you're going to lose that timing.
I think so. I mean, I think you want to be in the environment where the games are being played. I hope the NC State guys are going to these games and sitting in as much as they can, and they're not just, like, you know, out to dinner in Omaha. I mean, if you're taking it serious, you should be around and surround yourself with the environment. And I think it's a little bit different for college too, because these guys are just probably like. This is the highest level these guys can get, right? They're walking around like celebrities and enjoying themselves and, like...
Just like us.
Yeah, well, yeah. Hmm. Hey, Brandon.
No, you're right, though. This is a huge week for them.
It's fascinating to me, this event, the accessibility of everybody. Everybody's in this 3 or 4 block window. You're running into players, coaches, fans everywhere. And I actually ran an NC State starting pitcher in the game, I guess it was a day or two ago, the one who won against Stanford. And, you know, just hanging out. Everybody's just around everywhere. And it's, I don't know, it's just fascinating. I can't really remember, like, an event where it's like this is accessibility. It's good.
All right, we are putting our bets on A88CBD with U.S.-grown hemp extracts and high-quality formulas. Their products are winners. When the stakes are high and life gets hectic, there's nothing better than reaching for an A88CBD product. A88CBD is a game changer. They carry a variety of CBD products to choose from, and all of them contain exceptional ingredients, even come in convenient packaging. Try some deliciously different fruit chews or vegan gummies, perfect for taking with you on the go, or try one of their premium topicals like CBD Relief Cream. Even better, 888CBD.com or 888CBD offers free shipping on all products and a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. That's exceptional, it's premium, it's convenient. What more could you ask for? Head over to 888CBD.com to find an exceptional CBD experience for you. Use the code PICKS at checkout and receive 25% off your entire purchase. All right, for discussion at the end of the show, Carl had this great idea yesterday. We were talking about it in the stadium. Underrated exciting moments in sports. You know, they always say a triple is the most exciting play in sports. Okay, it is. You can think of maybe a pick six in football, maybe a bone jarring sack or something like that. But what are some understated, some moments in sports that really get you going? He thought about it when we saw a guy steal third yesterday. You never expect a guy to steal third. You expect him maybe from go to first to second because it's the long way. But when a guy steals third, it's like a half a second of pure adrenaline. What is something like that in sports? We'll have that discussion topic later in the show. Marinate on that, Dougs. Okay. Marinate on that,
I've
Pick
got,
T.
I've got it.
Stop thinking about T. Martin, 1998. Marinate on that, and then we will come back to that a little bit. Now, NBA playoffs last night. Everybody said when the Hawks beat the Knicks, they said, yeah, but they'll never beat the Sixers. Then they beat the Sixers, yeah, but they'll never beat the Bucks. But what could be happening here? What's going to stop? Why can't the Hawks win the NBA championship? They have a young player who is going from stardom to superstardom. Trae Young, 48 points, 7 rebounds, 11 assists last night. He is putting himself in the discussion for upper echelon in the NBA. Big T, you're a Hawks fan. Yep. Why can't they win the NBA championship?
I said earlier, y'all all laughed at me. I said, I think the Hawks are the best team left of the four.
I did laugh at you. I think that's stupid.
Well, why?
But the Suns exist. The Suns have.
The Suns are really good. Right. I think the Hawks match up well with them. I like Capella, if that were to be a series. I like Herter. Like Trey, as good as he's been. Kevin Herter has been unbelievable. Capella was awesome again last night. Like, they're just. Every time, and they're in these close games. Like last night I was watching, I just kept waiting for something bad to happen, as it usually does with Atlanta, and they just keep making plays. I love them. Like, their Trey was unbelievable. I think they can win the NBA.
You know, the Suns haven't lost in 6 games.
I'm aware.
And
they're not the best
team. I do think that would be the most fun finals matchup that we have right now.
Yeah, everyone wants a Hawks-Suns one.
No, but out of the four remaining, I think Trey Young going up against Devin Booker
is by far.
I mean, I think Giannis is still fine.
I don't think there's any bad matchup left. I think it's all good. And I think that, you know, the Hawks have already gone 7 once. I think they're going to go 7 again. I think this Bucks series is going to be back
and
forth.
You know who's fucking good is Collins.
Yeah.
He's dirty.
And maybe the worst coach in all of professional sports before he was fired is Lloyd Pierce, because the Hawks were in, like, 10th place when he got fired. And there were rumors like Collins and Trey hated each other and they were going to get Collins out. I think they all just hated Lloyd Pierce. Because then they brought McMillan in, yeah. And they've been unbelievable.
Have they taken the interim off him yet?
No, but, I mean, if they don't hire him, that's one of the egregious.
Worst. But, I mean, he's the interim, right? There's a lot of jobs out there he could just go get now.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. They should do it, like, before game two.
Yeah, no, they should have done it probably before game one. Yeah. But the Hawks, I mean, Trae Young with 48 points last night. Everybody for a couple of years, and Luka has reached a level that's incredible. Everybody has kind of said, that, you know, Luka. But what a great trade. But both teams got superstars.
It's annoying, though, when they're like, oh, is Trey Barrett and Luka, like, who? It's like, dude, they're totally different players. And, two, they think they're both fine.
Was there any truth to the Luka wants out thing?
I don't know that we know that yet.
I don't think there was.
Because that'll ultimately be, like, the thing if Luka is like, yeah, I'm getting the fuck out.
Yeah, Trey's spent his whole career in Atlanta. Yeah.
And Trey's there for 15 years.
And we got Cam Reddish, whose game has taken a step forward this year. If he turns into anything, the Hawks may – have won that trade.
Fucking stunk it, Duke. He had one good game. He stunk.
Who, Cam Reddish?
Yeah, so
did
bad.
He hit? Was the game winner against Florida State? That was him.
Yeah. What were we just talking? Oh, Zion too. Like, everyone's like, oh, Zion wants out of the Pelicans. That was like his third aunt's cousin that said it or something. Like, that's where you have to, like, seriously. It was like someone like distant relevant that he was like, yeah, Zion wants out. He never said a word.
Didn't he have an interview in Madison Square Garden where he was, like, talking about how much he loved playing in New York? And didn't that, like...
Yeah, I think everybody said that.
Yeah, I feel like everyone loves, like, saying that.
Do you remember what he did at the lottery before he got drafted, when he walked by all the podiums and he stopped at the Hawks one and kind of tapped it like that?
No, nobody remembers that.
A lot of people talking about it right now.
Who's talking about it?
A lot of people.
Raise your hand if you're talking about that.
A lot of people.
No hands.
Talking about it. I'm just telling you.
Raise your hand if you're named Tanner.
Yeah. There's Tanner.
One more.
What's up, Tanner? You know what's tough?
I had a tweet. Someone hacked my Twitter last night, and I tweeted out, and I had to delete it.
Really? What was it?
I don't know. Jay Willie, you not know it? See that? Mm. Oh, I knew he did not know what I was talking about.
Oh, I was busy. Kirk Herbstreit quote tweeted me last night.
Saw that.
Kind of a big deal.
Very nice. Jay Williams, he tweeted something about, like, how it was the first – black head.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah. So he literally said he got hacked?
He said he got hacked, and he changed his password. He's all good now.
That makes it so much worse. I had a brain fart. Just say
No.
My bad.
I love when people say that. It's like, dude, it was like 2 minutes after the tweet, too.
Yeah. He was right on top of it. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Moron.
Yeah. I did not see the hack story, but I did see when he said the first time the Celtics have hired a person of color, and I was like, I mean, they've had
It's not even
a lot. Two coaches, 30 ago. Years. Yeah. It goes back, you know, Doc Rivers, even back in Casey Jones in the 80s.
Doc Rivers won a championship.
Yeah, won a championship.
No hackers doing, like, hashtags and shit. There was a bunch of hashtags in there. No one's taking the time to do a hashtag.
Jay Williams is tough because he wrapped a motorcycle around a fucking he wrapped a motorcycle around a light post while he's playing for the Bulls.
Yep.
And that was tough because I like Jay Williams.
I thought he was going to be a great pro.
He was supposed to. He had a good rookie season, and he had really taken on, like, in the second half. And
he was on the only likable Duke basketball teams of all time. The Dunleavy, Battier teams, the only likable teams they ever had.
So sweet. Chris Duhon.
Yeah.
You guys are morons.
Chris Duhon played for 9 years.
Every Duke team's a great team.
Especially the one like that had Zion and all them, where he took 13 shots a game. They didn't make the Final Four, even though they had the best starting five in college basketball.
Should have lost to UCF.
R.J. Barrett. I almost had to get a taco tattoo on my ass because of that game.
Really?
Yeah. Like, there's no way we're losing a Taco Fall, and he dummied them.
Yeah.
Was it going to be a hard shell or soft shell?
Hard shell. Or a cheesy gordita crunch.
I think you should do that anyway.
See, Marty, there was a time for Duke where – and I'm not mansplaining stuff because we're in the same generation, but to me, there's the period of Duke basketball, and then they have this clear, like, five-year stretch where it was like J.J. Redick and Greg Paulus and Josh McRoberts, and there's no coming back from three guys like that. Like, it evolved into the nucleus of Duke where they were just such douchebags and boners. And it's not even say, like, the hate before Duke. It's like, they're really Grayson good, and Allen, Christian Laettner and all
Grayson
stuff.
Grayson Allen was a pretty hateable guy.
Yeah, no, but I'm saying, like, him, to me, Greg Paulus enabled just complete losers.
I guess that's
I like J.J. Redick.
I'm older, so I remember Christian Laettner was the biggest dickbag in college basketball. He should have been kicked out of that game that he ended up hitting that shot. He stepped on Aminu Timberlake.
What are you talking about?
He stepped on a guy.
His shoe was untied.
No, first of all, you weren't even born yet.
I know, but I watched it.
No, you didn't. Christian Laettner.
I've never seen that play.
Christian Laettner should not have been in that game. He was a dickbag. Cherokee Parks, big dickbag.
I never liked Cherokee Parks.
But like, long tradition.
But like, he's one of the most memorable players you'll ever like.
Who, Christian Laettner?
Yeah.
Oh, he's very good.
I ran into him in the elevator at work. I just put my head down. I was so nervous.
You're a Duke fan.
I know. I was nervous. I feel like he's going to kill me if I say something.
It's Christian Laettner.
He's scary.
He's not actually famous anymore.
Yes, he is.
Is he famous? No.
No.
I don't think so.
Like, the most famous thing Christian Laettner is for is being on the Dream Team.
I think you're as famous as Christian Laettner right now.
How tall is he?
6'10", 6'9".
So that would make more people recognize him. But, like, if he was 6'2", and he was walking down the street, I'm not sure I'd recognize him.
I mean, he's still famous in the college basketball world.
I guess.
For all time.
I don't know, man.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody.
I don't think you should be intimidated at Christian Laettner.
Really?
Yeah. I think you should have the high ground on Christian Laettner at this point.
Wow.
There's nobody under 30 that cares about Christian Laettner.
I do.
What are you, 28 then?
27.
That's a young guy. Maybe. All right. Marty.
Marty's all.
Well, it's also a Duke fan, so I mean. But I mean, Duke's just fantastic, you know?
Hey.
15.
Have you been to a game at Cameron?
No.
Okay.
Can't.
All right.
It's way too hard to fucking get in.
I've been. I'd like to go with you. We'll talk later.
I feel like you'd get in. Yeah.
I don't think they get.
I saw him play Maine there, and just I think this is interesting. They not just the students. That whole stadium cheers for every bucket.
Yep.
For every player, regardless of the circumstance. They're up 40 against Maine. None of these people don't know the spread. They couldn't. I'll guarantee you, one out of two people in there couldn't pick that spread within 30 points before
the opening tip. That's a fact. They only care about the points.
Sure as shit, though. There's a block under a minute underneath Maine's basket, and the people are giving some walk on like a standing ovation. You would have thought they just won the national championship. It was like the fifth game of the season against Maine. Religious experience.
I've never. I want to go there. I've never been there. It's small, right?
Yeah, and they have a museum with all the championships on display. It's like the coolest. It is the coolest sports venue I've ever been
to.
It's
so small.
Yeah,
it's high school concessions. I swear to goodness, it's like a lady with one of those aluminum tin boxes.
Oh, I
just
love
like
that.
Counting out singles.
I love that with the plastic nacho thing with the cheese in the corner.
Like, seriously, $1.50 hot dogs. You know, the water. They just have the pops are already pre-poured into the Pepsi with like all the watered down ice, and they're just serving you on plastic trays.
I love high school concession stand nachos. They're one of my great pleasures in life.
You like the gooey gooey cheese.
Mm-hmm. High school food in general.
Yeah.
High school cookies are great.
Rectangle pizzas.
Oh.
Bosco sticks.
Did you guys?
Bosco sticks.
I don't know what Bosco sticks are.
They're just basically garlic. Yeah, it's pizza sticks probably.
Pizza sticks, okay. Yeah.
Chicken nugget Wednesday.
We had soup and chili Thursday.
That doesn't make
sense. We never had soup.
What do you mean you had soup and chili?
High school
soup or chili. You had a soup line and chili line.
That's too much water.
What?
Too much water?
Liquid.
God damn. Sorry. Just earmuffs.
I know what you meant.
Oh, yeah. You guys knew. The soup and chili. You didn't have soup and chili in high school?
What year was this?
What do you mean what year was this? This isn't an ancient... No. Mississippi chili soup in high school, public school?
No, no, I mean like I had chili Tanner. In high school. I had soup
in
high school.
You went to Jackson Prep, Tanner. Fucking Tanner.
Did you go to Jackson Prep?
Where'd you go? You're from Birmingham. Oh, you're not a real Mississippi State fan, are you?
Oh,
whoa.
That's rough. Where'd you go? You're from Omaha.
I mean, have some pride. Tell us where you went.
He was very upset that he's from Omaha.
He did not like that at all.
He's like, God damn it.
Millard North?
Why are you? Why?
You went to Millard South? I know the area around here.
Who are you?
Swear to you. Millard North's good baseball, right? Is Millard South good?
Is there anybody from Mississippi in here? Where did you go? Pillow Academy, Greenwood. Yeah. Oh, stay away from him. He's got bad credit.
What are your top three? What are your top three high schools in Mississippi?
West Point is the number one high school in Mississippi, and there is no two and three.
Everyone
is rising.
No, it's
not. Everyone cares about Mississippi high schools.
That's fine. Carl knows his Omaha schools.
Mm-hmm.
No, because Carl does research when he gets places. I like that.
No, I like that too. Carl's been a worthy addition.
People say that about me. I research where I go.
Yeah,
it's actually like one night you say Marty Mush, that's like the immediate answer.
Marty Research.
Where he goes.
Mm-hmm. Where are we going today?
Nebraska.
Mm-hmm. What town is Nebraska in?
Lincoln.
University of Nebraska. Oh, you got it.
Yep.
Okay, good. All right, so what else we got? We're going to talk about some sports. Let's do our gambling picks right now, and then we'll circle back and we'll do our discussions on the most underrated, exciting moments in sports. Actually, the chat gave me a couple of good ones. I'll get to those later. ESPN came out with their top 10 MLB teams. The rankings right now, today, it's interesting. The Giants still number one.
That's crazy.
The Giants as the best team in baseball. Astros 2, Dodgers 3, White Sox 4, Padres 5. You got the Rays, the A's, the Red Sox, the Mets, the Cubs. It seems like this is one of the more wide open years I can remember.
You know, I was going to follow up and say I think just about any one of those teams to me would be just as good to win the World Series.
I mean, I think
there's
teams off that list that can win it.
Like the Dodgers?
The Yankees. The Dodgers were, I said them, didn't I? Yeah, there were three.
I mean, they're in one. I don't care what anyone says.
Now, how about this being maybe a byproduct of the fact that all the pitching's getting better and everybody's just getting better at baseball? It's not like years before. It's like, yo, the Yankees are going to win 117 games and they're just going to have the East locked down. Like you can kind of look at every single division, and except for the AL Central, the White Sox are most certainly going to run away with that. But there's competition everywhere.
They lost six in a row.
That's tough.
That's not good, Bob.
It's tough. There's a guy out there right now who doesn't like that news, Marty.
I mean, they.
Who's that guy?
It's my business partner, White Sox Dave.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
My esteemed trust partner.
Where's he at?
White Sox Dave is in Chicago.
Yeah, that's where he usually is.
Holding down HQC.
Islanders won.
I have. Yes, they did. We'll get to that in a second. I haven't been able to be there. I've never been to your guys' Chicago office when it was in the insurance, but it looks incredible.
It's awesome. 4,000 square feet. It's an opportunity for us to just have some fun for a little bit. We're going to be hiring people, I'm sure, in a little bit. But for right now, there's this window where it's just like the guys that were hanging out at that insurance office for a number of years. And so we get to have some fun for a little bit.
Do you have any toys in there, like video games, a Papa Shot yet? Do you have anything?
So I guess Eddie put his foot down on Papa Shot, which is fine. I support that.
Why did Eddie put his foot down on Papa Shot?
It takes up a lot of space, and then it's only cool for like a week, and then it just becomes people like casually dribbling a basketball during the middle of a conversation.
That's true.
And
he's right.
And then next thing you know, it's like, hey, we need to use an outlet, then an extension cord's running through the outlet. Thing's not even plugged in.
And then you fold it up and you put it in.
And then it's just like away, and it's like, hey, what do we do with this Papa Shot? And then we're getting DMs from people like, yo, I'll buy the Papa Shot. And it's like, why?
The only reason why our Papa Shot was good was because of the FedEx driver.
The FedEx guy, Papa
the,
Shot.
This yeah. guy won a Dave and Buster's
58
Papa
years
Shot
old.
Contest to go to Final Four one time. He came in. He refused to do it the first time because he didn't have the right shoes on. So that's when you knew. And then he came in one day and just dummied it. Like, what? He got over 100, right?
110, 117, back-to-back.
Is it just like one, or is he shooting with both hands?
It's unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
Well, I mean, I believe it. But I know what you guys are saying. No, it's, like, it's so good that
you
wouldn't believe it.
You have to see it.
But a FedEx driver who came in and said, I don't have the right shoes. Yeah, I trust that
The
guy.
Shoes threw me off. I was like, that guy knows.
We have a picture of Michael Jordan, Andre Dawson, and Walter Payton. And it's like right around the time, you know, Dawson had won the MVP. I think Jordan won an MVP in 87, 88 season. And then I don't know if Walter had won one that late in his career, but he was winding down, obviously. So it's a picture of them in tuxedos. And so the people who built us the office are like, hey, we wanted to give you a present. And they show us this big frame picture. And we were like, oh, my God, nice picture. Thank you so much. Like, that's not the present. Guy walks up, slides the photo. Giant thing moves, and there's a hidden bar behind it.
Really?
Bottles of booze, champagne, nice glasses, bourbon, all this stuff. I'm like, bro, I don't even drink this.
Nice.
This is so nice, like, I don't think we're even going to touch it. So that would be my favorite thing about the Chicago office.
That's a heck of a present,
yes,
right?
It's
there.
A hell of a present.
Cool. We got to fill it out with toys, though. You got a ping pong table?
I would do a ping
pong.
Too
competitive?
Let's start with a pogo stick.
A pogo stick?
Yeah.
Why?
Because it takes up less space.
That might be the worst thing to start with.
Really?
Imagine Eddie on a pogo stick.
Yeah, I know. I mean, like, I think it's funny. Like, we get the pogo going. We have this idea. And when I say we, this is an idea I concede that I have not yet broadcast, and I'll figure out how to do it. But I like a weekly competitive challenge.
Yeah.
That's not physical or any of this dumb shit. Like, just a weekly. So, like get a stopwatch out. Who can get it stopped on 30 seconds the closest with their eyes closed?
Right.
You get 10 attempts this week. And then we just keep standing throughout the year. Dumb stuff like that.
But do you feel like stuff like that will get too competitive with you guys? Because you guys do a snake draft, which is very, very innocuous and innocent. And sometimes that gets a little rough.
Yeah, that started off as just like a joke to get our way through quarantine. And now it's like you go in there and it's like...
It's war.
Yeah, we're not talking to each other until this is over and the results are finalizing. And then we still might be mad at each other.
Yeah, I think if you do mental or physical challenges every week, it might be the... The Civil War.
That's why it has to be dumb shit like papers or, like, you know, stuff you can't really. Although, I'll be honest, I watch stool streams. I see you guys yell at each other. I'm like, thank God we don't have that bullshit going on. I don't need everybody screaming at you.
It's a lot.
Oh, there he is.
Fucking
Jiminy Christmas.
He walks in like this.
Hey, Steven. How are you?
All right, everybody give a round of applause for Virginia's closer. Came here to face Brandon Walker.
No, we talked yesterday. We're good.
Oh. Have a seat, dude.
Yeah, have a seat.
Yeah, come on.
You need something to drink? Water? No? You good?
Okay. I've never seen a man look so confused when he walks in, and it's usually me.
Yeah. So, all right. What were we going to talk about? Let's do our picks. Ben, I will let you go first. So, Texas, Virginia tonight, you can lead off with that pick, but you can give us your full card because you're the college baseball expert.
Yeah, clearly. This is probably good news for Virginia fans and Steven because I'm taking Texas. I like their pitching depth.
I just think there's a Virginia pitcher right there.
Yeah, but I mean, it's probably good news for them with how I've done on this trip. It's just tough for Virginia to bounce back from such a tough mental loss like that. They're up 4-0 with a no-hitter in the eighth and got to bounce back on the quick turnaround. I like Texas tonight because they're pitching tough.
What's the rest of your card?
The rest of my card is the Minnesota Twins by a run and a half over Cleveland. My Oakland over finally lost last night. They lost 5-3 against Texas. I'm a stubborn guy. We're going back to Oakland over 4.5 runs in Texas today. I'm taking a minus run and a half as well. And, gosh, I feel like such a sucker doing this because the Suns are favored by one, and the Suns look like such a sucker side, up 2-0 with Paul back.
Yeah.
But I'm still taking them. I'm just riding the Chris Paul thing. I think getting him back. And, you know, they were in a weird spot in game 3 at Denver and took care of business and swept them. I think they put the nail on the throat tonight.
So I'll give you my picks in just a second. First, I got to tell you, this week it's double trouble as NASCAR pulls into the peaks of Pennsylvania with drivers looking to triumph at the tricky triangle Pocono Raceway. On its 50th anniversary, the iconic track plays host to the only doubleheader on the 2021 Cup Series schedule, where it will take twice the guts for double the glory. They've got guys like Kyle Larson at 3-1, Chase Elliott at 7-1. You've got veterans like Kevin Harvick at 14-1. The Barstool Sportsbook is going to have exclusives for NASCAR every single week. Check it out. With twice the opportunity to bet on NASCAR this weekend, stay tuned for our picks later this week, which will be tomorrow. You'll be going tomorrow, right?
Yes, sir.
So we'll be right back here tomorrow, minus Marty Mush. But be sure to stay tuned for our picks later this week to get all the right angles. And be sure to tune into NBC Sports Network for NASCAR Doubleheader Weekend starting this Saturday at 3 p.m. Eastern and continuing Sunday at 3:30 p.m. Eastern. All right. Number one, I have got Virginia Moneyline. I just want Texas out of here. I want all their fans gone. I don't see any Longhorns fans. I want Virginia to win this game tonight. I got, yeah, well, that's my guy. He's been here all week. I don't count him as a Texas fan. He's a Pick Central fan. So thank you very much. I gave him a T-shirt. Did I give you a T-shirt? I'll give you three. Okay, so I got Virginia money line. I also have Clippers to win the game tonight. I just feel like we're making so much of Chris Paul being back, and, yeah, they're going to be – it's good that they're getting him back. Clippers down 2-0 in the first series, down 2-0. They're returning home. They're going to get it right. Clippers money line. Suns Clippers under 221.5. The Montreal Canadiens plus 125 money line tonight to reach the Stanley Cup final. Red Sox money line to beat the Rays and Reds money line to beat the Braves, who just continue to be in quicksand. No matter how many little decent little stretches they have, they continue to just fall right back down. Marty Mush, you're up next.
I got the Clippers as well. I got the
There's a Braves fan out there doing this, giving a hand job to a Giant.
Don't they stink?
They're not good, no.
Hand job to
Can I keep that one?
Can I
keep that one?
Yeah, I've given you like three or four.
Yeah,
like
I've got some good ones coming home with me.
I got the Fever plus 8.5. I got the Liberty plus 7. And I got the Sparks plus 3.5. These girls have heart. And my favorite one is the Fever plus 8.5. They're 1-14. They show heart every time. And they're home, so plus 8.5 is the best pick of the night. That's all I got.
Carl.
Hopefully they get to their second win tonight.
Yeah, I mean, it's a huge game.
Yeah. Mine are easy. I'm taking Virginia. I haven't been impressed with Texas. I'm no offense to my
either.
Buddy Mark. And so just watching them, I know they've got great pitching. They had that reliever came in, Tanner Witt, the other day, and he just kind of threw some zeros up. That was very impressive. But otherwise, I look at the lineup, I like Virginia. I like the style they play. And Brandon kind of said it jokingly, but we did talk to some Virginia players yesterday on the way outside the stadium. Unbelievable attitude. So I like that. And, again, I already made the personal connection with the pitching coach. On the MLB side, this is actually like a lucky sharp play for me. I see these coming. I'm like, what the f-? The Cubs plus 1.5 are plus 100 tonight. Even money in L.A. They had an off day yesterday. They travel out. They don't particularly play well against the West Coast teams, but they swept the Dodgers at home. They've had some issues on the road. Zach Davies is going. Zach Davies has made a ton of starts in L.A., ton of starts against the West Coast, and he's got the type of stuff that I think can neutralize Gogans, Walker, Buehler. That said, Cubs tend to lose games by one run. That's why I like them plus 1.5. I think this is like a max play for me. It's like Cubs plus 1.5 for plus 100. It's so dumb, though, so I take that with a grain of salt.
Max play.
For me, is like a max play is not a lot, though.
Responsibly, yes.
Yeah, but my max play, just so you guys know, a max play for me is like less than 15% of what I pay monthly in living expenses. So I'm not paying. What I'm saying is I'm not paying the house.
Correct. Yes. Okay. Got it.
15%.
Don't. Mm-hmm. It's okay. Don't worry about it. You got it.
All right.
Big T.
I also have Virginia money line. Going to go against Mints, obviously. I have the over 8.5 in Virginia, Texas. Virginia's averaging.
It's 9.5.
It's 8.5 on the Barstool Sportsbook.
Okay. Went down.
Virginia's averaging 5 runs a game, and Texas kind of hit Tennessee around a bit. I had Suns minus 1 written down, and then he said it, so I'm going to go Clippers plus 1. And I also had Red Sox money line because Michael Wacha's pitching for Tampa, and he has like a 5.20 ERA.
Wacha, 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 Wacha. Yeah. Texas A&M guy, filthy change.
No, I know.
Pitched here.
Filthy change.
I met him all.
Did he?
Yep.
Well, good nice. For him. Hey, Dougs.
Hey.
How's it going?
Pretty good. How are you?
You got some picks?
I do.
Good.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Suns.
Yep.
And I'm going to take the Golden Knights.
Yep.
And I'm going to take Virginia.
Virginia. All right, there's too many people in Virginia.
I mean, I
somebody's got to bail out.
I got to see them play.
I didn't bet it.
Well, we all got to see them play.
In person. I was there.
Oh, at Florida State this year.
No.
Well, what are you talking about? What are you talking about here?
Oh, did y'all all go to the game, too?
I also like Virginia's bullpen to bounce back.
What the fuck's going on?
I didn't know you guys went to the Virginia game.
You mean the South Virginia, Mississippi State the other night?
I'm getting upset.
I saw Virginia and Texas both play. I like Virginia.
I see. All right. So here we go. Most underrated, exciting moments in sports. Last night, me and Carl sitting there. Carl was, a couple beers deep. I was 3.5 waters deep.
But I wasn't like.
No, you were good. You were
good. Like, you just had a couple beers, man.
Yeah, you were just chilling. We were sitting on the
front. I was
Yeah, I know, but I don't want anyone to get the impression I was sitting there hitting on. No, I just had a couple
beers. I guess what I was trying to say is we're sitting there, we're on the 20th row, our first base side, just two dudes sitting, got beers in their hands, you know, the sun's out. What a great scene.
Each other up, it's fine.
I'm not jerking each other, I'm just
Setting the stage.
So we're sitting there, and these are the moments where the discussions are born, right? These are the moments where you start talking about things. Guy steals third, and Carl goes, you know what, that's one of the most underrated, exciting moments in sports right there. The guy stealing third. And he's right, because you get a guy on first, you think he's going to steal, and you're looking for it maybe, but you never expect a guy to go from second to third.
You're almost like surprised. Like, well, why is he running?
What's going on? Yeah, yeah.
Is there somebody on first? Did something happen? And then, and I love the way the catcher has to throw behind a right-handed hitter.
Right.
It's a quick action. And
I feel like there's more throwaways on that throw to third, too, because it's all happening so fast.
You need the third baseman to close hard, especially if there's two outs. Stealing third with two outs is very stupid, but especially if there's two outs and the third baseman's off the bag.
Yeah.
He's got to sprint in, and the throw has to be at the bag, and you got to catch it and time it.
I felt like didn't it hit him in the face or the shoulder?
It directly looked like the face. I think upon review, it was maybe a little shoulder, but don't catch it in the face.
So the ones we have so far, stealing third, and I came up with one of my most underrated, exciting moments, basketball, right? A dive out of bounds save, like diving over the scorer's table to get your crowd pumped up. Something like that. You dive into the first row. You dive into over the bench. You don't like that one.
But it doesn't. What? It's not anything you.
Well, what do you got?
I got. I like when the holder of a field goal drops the ball. And I also like a drop third strike.
I don't like drop third strikes.
I think drop third strikes are stupid. That's actually one of.
Oh, Carl, go off on him.
When I played, that was one of my favorite things to ever
you like it?
On first pitch.
No, I mean, I think it's an appropriate rule.
We talked about it the other day.
I think it's an appropriate rule because you have to secure the ball to record an out. And that's what drop third strike is like. You have to have possession and security of the baseball.
I guess so. But I was watching it was one of the games the other day. It was the one before us. I think Virginia actually scored. A guy struck out and ended up scoring later. And I just feel like that's so cheap. You know, it's so – like he struck out. Should be punished for it. Instead, he ends up scoring.
Now, was it such like a was it a wild pitch or was it?
I don't remember if it was a pass.
But it's almost like in football, if the guy bobbles it and he still catches it out of bounds, but he bobbled a little bit, should it still be a catch?
My girl's 12 years old. She's just in softball, and they're just getting into the actual rules. This is their first. This summer season is the first time they're doing the drop third strike, and they're trying to teach them how to do it, and it's chaos.
Yeah,
it is pure utter chaos. Now, anytime there's a strikeout, whether they drop or not, they're throwing it down to first. People are running. They don't know what to do. It's utter and pure chaos. I'm not. I can't handle that.
Thank God.
I cannot go. I tried to coach 1 year. Almost got in a fight game one. Said, no, I can't do it anymore.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
I have an underrated one.
I do, too.
Nothing ever comes of this. Ever.
Yeah.
But every time it happens, you're like, oh, boy. And that is when you have forced an opponent onto their 1 yard line, and it's like 4th and 20. And they got to punt out of their own end zone, especially in the NFL. You're like, well, he's punting out of the own end zone. You're going to get the ball on the 45. You're getting the ball on the 40. Like, you're not getting the ball on the other side of the 50. These are NFL punters. But for whatever reason, you're just sitting there like, oh, we just scored a touchdown.
Yeah. You at the very least, you think you're blocking up for
like safety.
Or
put two points on the board.
And you're just praying that long snapper throws it over his head.
And then without fail, 9 out of 10 times you're in the situation, the announcers seemingly – and what a booming punt from the end zone. At what point can we shift the narrative around punting from inside your own goal line?
I like that one. I like that one a lot. Because you do get irrationally confident in that situation as the defense. You're like, oh, we got him here. And then 30 seconds later, you're taking a TV timeout and getting ready for 1st and 10 at the 49, which is good.
Yeah.
It's just not what you thought it was going to be.
And much more rare than that, and I would say significantly more exciting, is the unplanned onside kick. And I'm not talking coming out of the second half, and I know I'm a big Saints guy here coming out of the second half. I'm talking like the random one where it's like, you know, the middle of the second quarter, and it's like, wait.
What are they doing?
Why do they just do that?
Your brain doesn't process what's happening.
It's like, this is it. And I think that kind of relates to that, like, third base trigger where you're like, why is this happening?
Right.
Oh, you can do that. Yeah. Just no one ever does it because it's a stupid risk.
What have you got?
I've got – so late in a football game when you've got a lead – and when the team is driving, it's called the break the spirit drive. When you're trying to close a game and you convert like a 3rd and 1, a 3rd and 2, or like a 4th and 1, and just completely break the will of the opposition to end the game.
So, yeah, I like that.
The spirit breaker. That spirit breaker where like we're going to
you know, run it down their throats. They can't do anything about it, or if it's a play action, whatever. But it's that moment where, you know, the crowd and the defense are in it. It's their last hope, and then you just break their spirit.
Arthur L. on the chat has a very good one, and he says this. The referee signaling for a safety is one of the most exciting moments in football. That moment where he tackles him in the end zone or something, you're wondering, what is it? What is it? And it's always this slow like this. That's an epic moment.
And does it feel like safeties are hard to come by? Like, we're from the perspective of, like, hey, that should have been a safety. I feel like referees are like, no, it's not a safety.
They always give them the benefit of the doubt when they're near the goal line. They say, oh, he got to the 1.5 or he got to the half-yard line. And yeah, you're right.
Hockey refs doing the penalty shots pretty good, too. I know no one cares about hockey, but...
Oh, speaking of hockey, it's going to be Game 7 in the Islanders and Lightning.
Frankie actually might, like, hurt himself.
Right, I know.
I was happy they got that win last night, last game ever there in their barn, though.
Dude, could you imagine if the Islanders were, like, a dynasty and they, like, just put this up for, like, the next 7 years and, like, Frankie had to do this every May and June? Are you out of your mind?
No.
Sounds like a pretty good life, though. Everything comes around to you. Everything revolves back to you. Kind of owns the sport.
Yeah. I was just like...
I mean, I'd have a heart attack. We're in the College World Series, and the other night I almost had a stroke. Thank you, Steven.
I mean, that's cold, bro. You can't look at the Virginia closer and say thank you.
I'm sorry. That was an asshole move. My bad.
I mean, like, you have to offer this guy a job now.
We're talking.
Okay.
We're talking. There's a reason he's here, Carl.
Well, thanks for asking, Brandon. I would say my most underrated would be the big man touchdown.
Big man touchdown.
Dan Connolly for New England. When he wasn't a touchdown, but when he ran like 71 yards on the kick return, everyone is on his side.
Every single time I watch that clip, and I watch it often, I just hope he scores this time.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he gets so close. He even makes the cut back at the end, and it's just he's running like this. Yeah. It's just an incredible play.
Honest, it's always funny if a fat man runs.
Yeah, fat man running are fun.
Everyone cheers for him.
Yeah, because you see a fat guy like, that guy can't run, and then he does it. Holy shit.
Basketball, when they sub in, like, the guy who can't play defense, but he scores a ton of points. Like, those guys are on every college roster. They're like, hey, we're down by 8, and it's like they're not playing real well. And, like, here comes, like, the lanky 6'7" guy who can't play a lick of defense. But, like, you just leave him open for a second, he's bombing them.
Piggybacking off that one, when you're up 20 at home and they sub in the walk-ons everybody loves.
Can't stand that.
You know what? I love that. That gets the crowd going.
You stink. Stay on the bench.
That gets the crowd going.
Yeah, they stink.
No, there's
real quick. People hate this rule. I love it. Guys going in for a touchdown, punch through the end zone.
You say bad take because you were the guy on the bench.
No, I like the guys on the bench.
All right, we'll be back tomorrow. Marty, you're going to Milwaukee, right?
Yes,
he's going to Milwaukee. We'll be back tomorrow. Maybe Steven will be up here with us. I don't know, but he'll be getting ready to play another game. So, Pick Central, Yak is up next.